both Pastor Deboye and his wife were supported. And then she went there again this year, came back, and then said to me that she would do that to support what we do. And I want to thank my wife for that. So it was later on I heard that it was going on. I couldn't do anything anymore about it because I knew a lot of people who love us who were held back will be here in the morning because of the curfew. And I said to her, if I knew, maybe we could have done it tomorrow morning. And maybe when they come tomorrow and they hear the story, they may want to support as well. Then after that, I will invite my daughter, Janet Exo, to say the vote of thanks. She likes doing things like that. So Janet, be prepared for tomorrow. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to thank God for the safe arrival of Dr. Kwame, all the way from Zaria. I want to thank God for the safe arrival of Reverend Itiowe, one of the old-time holiness preachers. Guys, Reverend Itiowe, I love you, and I'm so glad you made it. You're very welcome. Some of you probably may never have seen Apostle Aromi Asai, but tonight he's here live. The owner of the hotel, Golden Tulip, where Apostle Suleiman is staying. He's saying, can you send me Apostle Osai to come and stay in my hotel? I said, no, he's staying in my own hotel. Yeah. And he was going to pick up the bills. I said, thank you very much for the offer. My people love you, and I'm glad that you are here. But Apostle Emmanuel, you are not the most unpopular preacher in Nigeria. You are becoming the authenticated prophet in Nigeria. Yes. It won't be long. Those who have fed themselves with fantasies will look for something more authentic and true. And then you will discover that you are more than what you think. Men and brethren, this man passing here is a miracle on two legs. Number one, he refused to die. Number two, he was kidnapped a few days ago. I mean it for real. He was kidnapped a few days ago. And then he called me from the kidnapper's den. Dad, I said, what's going on? He says, I have been kidnapped. I said, excuse me. I have more important things now. We have a summit ahead of us. So tell me why you called me. He said, it is the kidnappers. I'm with them in the bush. I said, give them the phone. Venerable Udo, come here. Oh, he has already talked about it. Oh yeah, don't come again. I didn't know. I don't know lots of things happening here. You people are enjoying too much. So I said to him, give them the phone. My people said, if you don't have anybody who can speak for you, look for you, fight for you, you are gone. But I thank God he's here. And those kidnapping boys will never be the same again. Their life is spared because they submitted and he prayed for them. Otherwise, it could have been a different story. Well, I want to welcome the global worship team. Thank you very much for the great work that you do. Can we sing, Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is mine. Let's take it again.
Jesus, your name is mine.
Jesus, your name is mine.
Jesus, your name is mine.
Jesus, your name will break every stronghold.
Jesus, your name will break every stronghold.
Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is healing.
Jesus, your name is healing.
Jesus, your name is sight.
Oh, Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name will free every captive.
Jesus, your name will free every captive.
Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is holy.
Jesus, your name is holy.
Jesus, your name brings life.
Jesus, your name brings life.
Jesus, your name is above every other.
Jesus, your name.
Hallelujah.
Above every other.
Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is life.
It's in the name of that Jesus that we have gathered. It's in the name of that Jesus that the mighty men and women have gathered in this place. Lord, show yourself great and mighty on our behalf. Jesus. 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 Show yourself great and mighty among your own tonight. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I am asked to speak on mighty men of the Bible and the season of the horsemen. Two things combined together. Again, my wife is guilty of this. I tried to make it as simple as I could, and then, but she wouldn't let me. But don't think we are quarreling. You know, it's just that I love her that I can't disobey her. She said you have to put all of them together because we have fewer days. I said I would try. Mighty men of the Bible. Turn to the place we've been reading. Some of us have been reading since we started. Judges chapter 6. From verse 11 to 14. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him,
The Lord is with you.
With you.
You mighty man
of valor.
Gideon says to him,
Excuse me.
Oh my Lord.
If the Lord is with us,
why then has all this happened to us?
And where are all his miracles?
Which our fathers told us about, saying,
Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?
But now the Lord has forsaken us
and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
Then the Lord, turned to him, and said,
Stop talking.
Go in this might of yours.
And it shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.
Have I not sent you?
I want to read
two other passages.
And then I will continue. The second passage is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And I will go on to verse 34.
And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah.
Also of David and Samuel and the prophets.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms.
Walked righteousness.
Obtained promises.
Stopped the mouth of lions.
Quenched the violence of fire.
Escaped the edge of the sword.
Out of weakness were made strong.
Became valiant in battle.
Turned to flight.
The armies of the aliens.
Finally, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5.
Talking about the horsemen.
If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you,
then how can you contend with horses?
And if in the land of peace you trusted,
they wearied you.
Then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?
I want to thank God who inspired you to come.
For some of my spiritual sons and daughters, I pleaded with them to come. And if I didn't give enough explanation why you needed to come, listen to me tonight. The church is under attack. Do you not see it? Don't you watch CNN? Don't you watch BBC? Don't you read the stories emanating from the northern part of Nigeria? Maybe we need to charter buses and go to those camps where people were driven away from their villages, from their homes, the buildings, and the land of their forefathers, and gathered as refugees inside their own country. And their cities and villages and towns are occupied by foreigners inside their own country. The church is under attack. Didn't you hear it in the morning when Pastor Bosu Emmanuel and Professor Content told us that we have turned around and become a crowd of people without a voice, without leadership. When one of the speakers in the afternoon spoke, he says, we are a group of lions led by a sheep. And he asked us, how do we think you will win any fight? The church is under attack. Manipulation, witchcraft, sorcery. Because we can't agree on anything. Everybody does what seems right in his own eyes, like the days of the judges. So, why would Gideon complain? Why wouldn't they be slaves for 40 years or more? When everybody does what seems right to his own. Nobody listens to another person. Nobody calls for a meeting and others will respond. It has to be you. Then others should come. If it's not you, then nobody should go. How do you think you will put yourself together and be able to fight aggression from the kingdom of darkness and succeed? How will you even start if there's no voice of command in your midst? For some, I don't know the miracle and what God took to bring them out here. Because we are carried away with activities, routines. That when God is calling, when something important is coming our way, we don't know. You've never had this meeting before. Never. But there's a need for it. But some of the things we've been doing before, the routine things we've been doing before, we couldn't sacrifice to come out to say, let me hear what God has to say. When your maturity is not up to that level, where you can stop what you're doing, it doesn't matter how important, to pay attention to God. If at all, you know how to hear from God, then you're not mature. The early morning speakers talked about our titles, which is part of the confusion in our head. You have yours, I have mine, so why should I submit to you? We are all brothers and sisters. We have one Father. We have one kingdom. We have one Holy Spirit. But we have elders in the house. We have fathers. And we should learn the custom and the traditions of the kingdom. Not the righteous judges type of headless, disorganized, you know, scattered group of people. The church is under attack. Wealthy satanic billionaires have used their money to attack Christ and promote Antichrist. People like Bill Gates of the United States of America. People like George Soros. These people, I know them. I know them to their houses. I've been to Bill Gates' house. I have been to where George Soros in Florida is building a satellite that will supersede and control every other satellite. And I have taken a group of people to pray and say, this is Satan's agenda. This is another Babel. But then they have not begun to manifest fully like they have come now. Who in their meetings will draw Satan with his horns as their inspiration? They're not hiding it. And I've received mandate from Satan to reduce the population of people in the world. To kill, shed blood. The mission of Satan. And they use their money for it. The same thing with Fauci, the head of Center for Disease Control in the USA, who in 2008 wrote an article and published it, and I have it here on my phone, that wearing a mask is detrimental to the heart and to the lungs. That is not good for men. 2011, he said that hydrochloroquine is very helpful to stop the spread of diseases. But in this season, he introduced the mask, he condemned the hydrochloroquine, and he paid doctors to kill people, and then said they were killed by COVID. My wife and I were in the U.S. for 6 months, and these things were happening before our very eyes, and we cried out and said, where are the Christian millionaires and billionaires? Where are they? Can they come and let's fight this monster? The church is under attack. Then false religions are rising on their own corners. Occultic groups, satanic groups who were ashamed and hiding have come out. They have boldness. They have constitutional rights. They have legal backing. Church is watching. Unfortunately, the growing church has become stagnated. And the stagnated church is now receding. The head of the Pentecostal churches in the whole of Europe is my colleague, five of us, and members of an international board somewhere. And he said to me, he's from Germany, he said to me that the German church just donated 10 of their cathedrals to a false religion in the name of showing them love. Not story. So many of the churches in Europe are sold away. I went around Finland. I saw so many empty churches. I met a pastor who said he has resigned and retired 3 times for somebody to take over his church. Big compound, beautiful edifice, church, personage, everything. He said he has retired 3 times. Nobody to come and take the church. He was the leader of the choir. He was the usher. He was the pastor. And we're here fighting ourselves. And they told me in Finland that since the 70s, nobody has had a national crusade in their country. I came back with pain. And I began to work to send some people there. Some of you have read about men who caused revival. Men who slapped the dead and they got up. They slapped the deaf and they were too impatient to wait. His church in London was sold to a false religion. The granddaughter just came back from South Africa to beg to rebuy the church and they refused. So what happened to us? We lost the fire. We lost the momentum. We lost discipline. We lost cohesion. We've arrived to the era of Nkemtrugeme. Any page you get to, you read. All of us carry the same Bible, isn't it? So why should you talk to me? But then you want people to come and submit to you. You can't be a great leader if you don't submit to another. You heard when Pastor Deboye said it. You can't go far without submitting to an authority. The church is under attack, and part of it is because we allow the devil to do that. Sometimes I'm very attentive to what people say. You said the devil, I said, where did you find him? The devil made me do this. The devil, I said, excuse me. Where did you meet him? We give ourselves away. Because the devil can't come near the church. The fire of Pentecost is too hot. If he comes close, he will perish before his time. But somebody, some people inside brought him through the back door. Why? Because of inordinate ambition. Ambition is not bad. You can have an ambition to do something good. But when the ambition is inordinate, you can sell your people and sell God's kingdom. So you can become famous and get what you want. Greed. When the ambition of Solomon is combined with the greed of the servant of Elisha, and we were told this morning, then there's disaster. A combination of leprosy and premature death. And that's what we see in the house. And I pray that God will raise here mighty men. Mighty according to the Bible. Not mighty according to what we think. God made a mighty man. And the Bible said, he was stealing from his own farm, harvesting and hiding from the Midianites. And God said to him, you go in this your might to deliver your people. And he said, excuse me, sir. You're talking to the wrong person. And when God insisted, then he turned around to accuse God. That's what we all do. We can't accept our blames. Own and take responsibility for our failures. Somebody else must be blamed, including God. So he now began to say, God, so where were you? I need deliverance from the Midianites. I'm stealing from my farm for 40 years. So where were you? So where is that your power and your miracles? That's another weakness and failure of man. We are very defensive. You don't even need to wait for anybody to talk to you, confront you about something. You're already pushing the blame to somebody. You feel very unsafe, insecure. You can't be a mighty man like that. A mighty man must listen, get your facts, analyze it. And if it makes sense, cooperate with you. And if it doesn't make sense, he will ask questions. This morning we were told that questions are not bad to ask. But not to begin to defend and protect yourself and find somebody to blame. That's very cowardly. And God said, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "My Lord, it can't be true. It can't be true. If God brought you here, you must be a mighty man. If God brought you here, you must be a mighty woman." Some of you sense it in your spirit. Some of you don't. The reason is that the Elohim, the God who made the heavens and earth, Jehovah himself, at the time we were born again, to adopt us, he put himself inside us, as it was from the beginning, to give us power to have dominion. And Jesus said, "I put back everything under your feet. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." For us, it's in the book. For some, it's in the head. But God has brought you here so that he can take it from the book and from the head and put in your heart and put fire on it and wake you up. So that the greatness and the mightiness of God inside us can be activated. Can be activated. You had the story of John the Baptist today. The man greater than any man born of a woman from the lips of Jesus. Giving his head to a man to be cut and given to a harlot. Was it God's fault? No. A mighty man so gave himself away cheaply. A mighty church giving herself away cheaply. So I'll speak, probably tomorrow I'll speak on the battles at the gates. That was not the dream of God. That was not the dream of Jesus. That was not how and why the church was founded. No. Not at all. So we find ourselves disorganized. Some church leaders want to wed man and man, homosexuals, woman to woman, church leaders, and they make them bishops. Abomination in the house on the altar of God. And they fight those who said, "No, let's stick to the Bible." It's a division in the house. You find some Pentecostals who go to the occult, who go to waterfront, who raise altars for wickedness, who buried all kinds of things in order for Satan to give them power for them to preach in the name of the Lord. And it is such people that will come to a meeting and you're talking about how to present a kingdom candidate. They said, "To whose church will he pay his tithe?" But those people are not kingdom minded. They are their pocket minded. Now the people who will go to government house, collect brown envelopes, and then vote for Satan. And they will fight a true prophet who tells them you are going the wrong way. Why? Because they are not full members of the kingdom of God. They are like the woman I spoke to you some time ago from this altar that went to court and was asked, which religion do you belong to? She said to the judge, Iko amane de kedeka. How come they depend but chirobina chirobina? Your concubine don't understand what you're talking about. But my church is collect here and collect here. And what she meant was cherubim and seraphim. The only way she could call the name was cherubim, cherubim. Some of us in the church, you know, are members of cherubim, cherubim. So, that's why it looks like the devil came in and injected us with the substance that paralyzed the church. Yes! That they bring the sick in and take them out. Even when we lay hands, whereas our shadows will have healed the sick. They bring the sick and we anoint them when our handkerchief should have healed them. They bring the sick. Some of us have chains in churches to bind mad people. Chains to rob the devil. Chain them the more. Some of us have canes to flog them. When the demons become human flesh, so if you flog the person, the demon will go. You find crazy things happening in the church. Madness. We have big signboards. And even crowd of people going. And nobody speaks and others will listen. And when you talk too much, you are branded a controversial speaker, preacher. And then they will gang up church people. Yes, church people have contributed money, Pentecostals, and given to assassins to kill me. And one of them who was in the meeting from Akwa Ibom ran out to where I was doing crusade with my wife. I said, Daddy, don't come back to Port Harcourt. I said, why? He said, I was in the meeting where they raised money and paid assassins to kill you. I said, me? I said, thank you for informing me, but I'm coming back to Port Harcourt. I'm going to tell them that my crusade will end next tomorrow and I'll be heading back home. And my wife held me on my trouser. I said, I have one husband. We're going to stay here and pray and hear what instructions God has for you. So I agreed. And God said, go back to Port Harcourt, but don't come out for 5 days. As soon as we drove into my house in Port Harcourt, my wife called the driver, collected key. I don't know where she kept it. I didn't go out for those days. And 2 times, the assassins went to my office to look for me. And the news in town was that I have run out of the east. I could not be found. So they went with their money. A week after, I went to Chikomaba to preach. They were shocked. They said, but they were told that I have run out of this region. I said, who told you? So, satanic news circulates more among us. And we believe it faster and better. Hold on to it better than we believe the Bible. My wife and I never told anybody I traveled. So who told them I've run out of town? Assassins. And it has spread from Port Harcourt to Aba and to places. Who paid the assassins? The offering and tithe people paid the church. Pentecostal uses it to pay assassins to kill another minister. And the person they wanted to kill happens to a person who helped them to even get established in their work. And that's why whatever they plan will not work. One day, a young man called Bishop Bunton came here with an elder statesman, and he said, his first greeting was, "Man of God, whom the sons of hell could not destroy." I said, "But you are your brothers. Have they become sons of hell?" He said, "We understand." The same house, and you know that when a house is divided, it can't stand anymore. 90 men. How can this house stand anymore? Your brother is calling for a prayer and fasting meeting, or asking for a city prayer rally. You call your members. "We are going to have a greater city prayer and fasting in the church, so that they will not partake in that." Now, my problem with that is this. We have one God, one Holy Spirit. We're going to one heaven. We are supposed to have one commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. One army, not a divided army. If you don't like the way they're organizing the thing, please visit them and make inputs. And let them be organized the way you want. But for goodness sake, don't subtly, demonically organize things that look like church events to hurt what God is doing somewhere. You've seen the flyer, you've seen the billboards, you've seen things moving, and then suddenly now the Holy Ghost is moving you to do something contrary. Which Holy Ghost? We're under attack because we allowed it so. And we threw to the winds what the Bible says, you should love yourselves. Just as Jesus loved the church. Yes, some of you will know a one-time speaker at the Global Prayer Quake called Dr. Batase. Dr. Batase said, "I believe in John 3:16. For God so loved the world." He said, "But one day God asked me to read 1 John 3:16. So he went there. And the Bible says, as Jesus loved the world and gave himself, so you also need to love yourselves and give yourself for your brother." He said, at that point, he didn't know whether he believed in John 3:16 anymore. Because it's becoming personal. And part of the reason is church problem. I want to preach entertaining messages. And preach and give you hope that if you give me all the money in your bank account, then tomorrow you'll be richer than George Soros. And Bill Gates and all the wealthy men in the world. It's not true. But I believe the word of God that if you sow, you shall reap. It works like that. It's real. It's true. Every time my wife and I, we have gotten to move anything, I sow things in my house. And I'll take the money and I'll sow. And I thank God for her. She doesn't stop me. Because maybe she wanted to watch to see if this thing will work. Because she has seen that it works. To start building here, one of my sons who is here came to my house. We pray and we have night vigil every Tuesday night. He said, "God wants you to take $1,000 and go to 7 places and sow them, and then you can go and start the work at ICC." I'm not an American. Where will I get $7,000? The first $1,000 I flew to Jerusalem. I gave it there. The second $1,000 I saw another church building something. I gave them. I began to give them. I had to sow to others and to churches. $1,000 today is almost 500,000 naira. It's 494 naira per dollar. And I had to do that. For this conference, the Lord said we should not swear. But my wife is my witness. I placed one of my houses on sale. I have a son who's sitting down here. I gave him the papers. I said, sell that building. I need the money to run this conference. Because I didn't know how to run around people to go and beg me their money to do what? What they don't understand, what they were not sent to do. So they wouldn't understand it. So whatever I have, sell it. And whoever is able to offer me money and give me cash, that's all I need. I'm not looking for gain or profit. I believe in giving. But if all my motive in doing ministry is to preach giving, so I can have the best house, the best shoe, the best suit, I can make match with the car, huh? Let me tell you, I have a white sequoia. It was bought by the apostolic women. They gave it to me as a gift. See what I'm wearing here? Somebody gave it to me as a gift. The shoe I'm wearing here, somebody bought it for me and gave it to me. The church is under attack, but it's working because we allowed the enemy. We are greedy. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world. That's why we are powerless today. Or we'll put it on our poster. On what kind of things will happen. And nothing will happen. Why will anything happen? Have you ever heard that the fire of God can sit upon rubbish? It's called sacred flames. It's called Holy Spirit. Does not sit upon unholy objects. And that's why people are going to Satan. Because they cannot consecrate themselves. They cannot discipline themselves. And their flesh. So they go to Satan where anything goes. To get his power. Satan has power. I must admit. Maybe you come from where he doesn't have power. He has power in my village. But the power of God is superior to his power. That's why I'm still alive. So he may deceive you with the little he has. But you have greater power in Jesus. Acts chapter 3 verse 15. Peter says, faith. Just faith in the name of Jesus. Make the cripple walk. Don't look at us as if we fell from the moon. We didn't make any contribution in it. We could do anything. We can move from spot to another spot without transportation, physical transportation. You can come out of a locked room, it's in the Bible, without key. Assassins have met me with their weapons and asked me to say my last prayer. I said, excuse me, are you talking to me? They said, I should shut up. I said, well, you are increasing your problem. You don't talk to people like me like that. Who made you my pastor though, to tell me when to pray and the type of prayer to pray? So why are you here? They brought up weapons. Said to cut me into pieces and put me in that trash. I said, what's my offense? He said, I took 3 girls that belong to big boys. I said, you came to the wrong address. I tried to open the door to show them. They drew me back. I said, come on, in the name of Jesus. Start with yourselves. That was all I said. And they turned their weapons and began to cut their heads and cut their hands. And by the time they were trying to fall dead, something said to me, tomorrow you will explain to the police how 3 men died in your palace. and I will have no witness. I said, stop! I opened the door, led them out of the gate, and asked them to find their way to their places. Locked the place, came back. Blood was everywhere. Now, don't clap. And fear gripped me. When the whole thing was happening, there was no fear. It was after it had happened and I saw what God had done, which showed that it was not about me. The next day in the community, nobody agreed to shake my hand. They said, the type of otumokpo I have, those who have it have all died. So we have superior power in the name of Jesus. We don't need to go to Mami Water. We don't need to go to any court. We don't need to go to. There's an altar of wickedness in order to help God. You can't carry polluted body and oil, you know, satanic pollution, and come to the altar of a holy God to minister. I don't know which part of hell God will send some of those people. They are part of the agents of darkness in the church today. And the other ones are those who are occupying positions who are cowards. They see the truth, they will not speak it. They see their brothers in trouble, they will not go to help them. One man does not go to war. I have asked questions several times. Are there no Christians in the south? Why should those in the north be suffering alone? I have no explanation for that. So if there's a Christian body, why should one side be hurting and the other seem comfortable and are wearing oversized dresses? Can your finger be burning and your other part of the body will be having celebration? So I pray that something has to be done. Because our structures, I don't know what they are made up of, but we have people who gather with big names so that they can be on the protocol list of politicians and sell away the church. Mighty men. Mighty men. Saul assembled his army, commanded by Abner, went to the battlefield. Pastor Bonsu told us that he took his men to fight one man. And the man said, give me one man. And there was no one man in his army. God sent a boy. Does it mean that in the army of the church in Nigeria, that there's no one man? And if there's no one man, don't we have a boy? Don't we have an Esther? Don't we have a girl? Until we all come to realize that we have a problem, then we won't wake up to seek ways to solve it. You want to wait until it gets here? Then it will be too late. Where are the mighty men that God has in the church? One of your brothers will speak up, cry out, tell what is happening. And then they will pick him up and arrest him. And all of you will run like rodents inside the grass. And there are not no men who will come out. I said, don't you ever try it. That's my kind of man. And then that brother who spoke up will die as if there's no church he's speaking for. We have agents of darkness infiltrate into our prayer groups. When the tempo is rising, they will puncture it. The thing will go flat. And then we have seers who don't see. We have prophets who will notice them. So, tonight, while we are here, my prayer is this, O God. Whatever you did in Gideon, if you have to visit his ancestry, the altar somewhere that's speaking negative things, let God open our eyes. Let him do it again so that we will see ourselves as God sees us, as mighty men and women in the mighty name of Jesus. The family is feeling the pinch. The position of the man as the high priest is abandoned. You heard it when Angus Buchan, the first speaker of this summit, talked about the role of the man as the high priest in the home. But man, you have abandoned it. You abandoned it to your wife. You walk yourself until you're tired and useless to your family. You are pursuing money. Let me tell you, riches have wings. If anything happens to you today and your family was not solid, those things will disappear. For some of you whose wives are not signatory to all your accounts, some of your money will get lost. Some people will use your money. And if you have wicked brothers, they will come and distribute your children. And distribute the things you died for that made you not to sit down and take care of your family. When you walk, give your children and your wife their own time every day. At the point you must close work. Go back when you still have some energy in you. And teach your children how to sing the hymns you know. Our children sing the old hymns because I sing it with them and I teach them. They sing the old scripture union songs. I am the song leader in my house. The one I don't remember, I ask my wife to remind me the tune. I'll tell her, tell her the first line. Our homes. The man who is the provider of the family is disabled because of bad leadership. Economy crumbled. Many companies have downsized everywhere in the whole world because of COVID. Shops closed. And many businesses affected. And so many men are disenchanted. One of the most frustrating thing for a man is that for a man who loves his wife and family, to find himself where they will come to him for something and he can't do anything. My people say, "Mebo eme boro kamade ka obubu eburiya ma." The disgrace that a nobleman suffers in life is worse than death. And some men are going through this. Not because of any fault of their own. One day they woke up and they got a paper that a company they have given their whole life for doesn't need them anymore. And they ask for their due pay and it's not given to them. We have situations that have made the man powerless. The defender and the center of security for his family is now intimidated and paralyzed. The man who is the head coach for the family can no longer raise a winning team. Yes. A model of high values and inspiration for his family himself now needs help. Somebody to help him. Widows are crying out. Married women are crying out. Children are crying out. Their fathers are absentee fathers. Their mothers too are married to their work. And they are asked to be taught and raised by television, movies, and the like. Look at Genesis 18 from verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God was bragging about a mighty man. I know he is rising up to be great, to be a mighty man. But there's something about him. He has the ability to lead his family, to coach a winning team, to raise children who will love righteousness and justice and sustain a covenant line with God. I know him. Some of us men are not stable. You blow hot and cold. Today you are strong, you are powerful. Tomorrow you are flat. You're not consistent. Mighty men are consistent. Abraham was a mighty man. And mighty men produce mighty children. They coach them. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1. This is the story of Kish, the father of Saul. That chapter starts with this verse. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bekorah, the son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. That was the father of King Saul.
They were going to talk about Saul,
who was qualified to be the king. And they began by talking about his father, who was a mighty man. Mighty men raise mighty boys. So where are your children? Let's look at Jesse, the father of David. 1 Samuel 17, verse 55. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, I'm reading the Bible, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Onye Moroya. Who raised this boy? When you see a boy, you see his father. That's what it should be. But today, some men said today, children dictate what happens. They rule the house. They tell us what to do. May God help you. May God help you. Children dictate what happens. Children, what do they know? You abdicate your responsibility. It's come from your duty post. As a coach and a father, as a priest, as a children. You run away from your role as a mentor to them. And then children. The Bible says, what to them, what to that city or nation whose kings are children? I want you to see how David was introduced the day he came for interview before Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. Then one of the servants of King Saul answered and said, when David was being asked questions, look, I have seen a son of Jesse,
the Bethlehemite,
who is skillful.
A man of war.
Prudent in speech.
And a handsome person.
And the Lord is with him.
Somebody is describing another person's son.
A young boy, a youth, as a mighty man of valor, a man of war. He had never been to any war school, but he had been by the side of his father when wars were fought. And he saw the lion, his father, rise. He saw his father stand up and tear them into pieces. And so when he saw lions, he knew how to tear them. When he saw deer, he knew how to tear deer, because he had seen his father tear them. My father was a pastor, and I saw him turn funerals into celebration. He saw cups where it was laid down, and they were getting ready for burial. He said, "God, who killed this one, you or Satan?" And God said to him, "It's Satan." He said, "Spoil it now. Is that your will that this happens?" God said, "No." He said, "Now, can't you spoil it?" God said, "Well, if you ask." He said, "Now I ask, spoil it. And my father will go to a corpse that's laid somewhere, and the owners have abandoned her to go and prepare for the burial. And command that corpse to get up. And it's a corpse that was bewitched with tortoise shape, the hands and legs folded into the stomach. And she cannot lie with a hunchback. She lies by the side like this. And the hands came out. The legs came out. And the woman got up. And he said to me, "Please help her to come out." I said, "Not me and you." I ran as fast as my legs can carry me. The woman dressed up and came out. Sat down under an orange tree with my dad. And when the people who were getting ready to bury her came to carry the corpse and saw her, they fell down and ran away. That there are three spirits sitting there. And I was one of the spirits. So I saw my father do those things. And so as I was growing up, for me that was normal for church. And that's why I could be coming on this highway from Okigwe, and I saw three corpses on the road. And I'll go and look. And I saw that two of them had Jesus badges on their body. I said, no. This one shouldn't have died. I carried the two on my two hands. And I said, "God, give me back these ones." Until two of them came back to life. I don't know where they are, but I still believe they are alive. I took them to the hospital. In 2 days, they were well. And they were discharged. They were healthy. One day I was passing through a fellowship, a Scripture Union fellowship. At that time they were still at Tenant Road, Aba, and I had one of them give a testimony, and tears filled my eyes. I said, "That is a rotten corpse in the ground, standing giving a testimony, because the Jesus person passed by." Where did I learn that? It's in the Bible, yes. But I needed a father who can demonstrate it, to have confidence to do the same thing. Where did David go to war school to be skillful, to tear lions, to tear deer, and not to be afraid of a Goliath? Somebody raised him. And the Bible says that at his first appearance before King Saul, he replaced Abner. Professor contend, do you know that as soon as David was hired, he became Saul's armor bearer? So where is the position of Abner? Not long after that, he began to show. He became the commander of the army without a rank. You don't need a title to be a mighty man. Yeah. So stop chasing shadows. Mighty men of God in the Bible. They were people of the word. I was very impressed with Suleiman this morning. He said he has read the Bible. I don't know how many times you remind him. And you could see how he freely quoted scripture. I was very impressed. Go and bring your children, ask them to quote scripture. They will tell you the football players in Europe. Those in Man U, those in Arsenal, those in Manchester United, and those in Man City, those in Liverpool. Ask him what of those in the Bible. Doesn't know. So who raised those children? Man U people? First Samuel chapter 16 verse 21. First appearance. First appearance. He knocked off all others who were there. Somebody raised him.
Somebody raised him.
Fathers. Your children want to see a man kneel down.
And pray to God.
And then they will kneel with you. When my children were growing up, and my wife doing devotion, we open her eyes and then see them open their eyes and said, close your eyes. And I opened my eyes and said, Mom, close your eyes. And at the end of the day, I said, Mom, so how did you see that their eyes were open? You opened your eyes. Do you know what was going on? When the prayer was going on, the children opened their eyes to watch mom and dad to know how they do it. Not long after that, asked them to pray. The one called Michael, we make his face like the mother's face when he's praying. He was photocopying the mother. Children do what they see more than what they hear. They want a father who will kneel with them to pray to the God he believes in. They want a father who will take them to a night vigil and to a prayer meeting. And if you've not done that and been doing that, you've damaged them. Don't expect them to do it tomorrow. They will only do what they saw you do. I hope it's not too late. Mighty men raise mighty children. Mighty men. God sent a lady, a daughter to me to mentor. And she came to me and said, I'm sorry. God should have sent you to another delicate, soft woman, not to me. I said, I'm not soft. I'm not ladylike. He said, that's why God sent her to me. I said, I hope God loves you. Mighty men produce mighty daughters. You're not mighty today because you never had a coach, never had a mentor that was strong and straight. And maybe you had one and you were never good. You're never a good mentee. You won't come for rehearsals, you won't come for practice. When he calls for meeting, you will not show up. You always had excuses. How can you be a good player? And then like Gideon, you blame God. Role of mighty men, women in society. They provide leadership. Have you taken your children to where you are providing leadership for the street where you live, for the neighborhood where you live, giving direction to your local government and state? Do you do that? Do you tell them it's good to be involved in what's happening in society? That's why the church failed. We don't teach about community involvement and politics in the church. And yet, we function on and are controlled by those who run those spheres. the father of the last prime minister of Britain, discussed with the daughter, and she said she wanted to be the prime minister when she was 16, and she became the prime minister when she was 8 years old, and she became the prime minister. When Margaret Thatcher became the prime minister, she was angry. She said, I know I'm supposed to be the first woman prime minister in Britain. If I said no, maybe it's not your turn yet. And when it was her turn, she became the prime minister. The longest serving head of state of Germany, the immediate past, Chancellor of Germany, was or is the daughter of a pastor. And at age 16, she discussed with her father that she will rule Germany. And she did, and has been the best Germany has ever produced since Germany became a nation. The daughter of a pastor. Where are your children? In the kitchen? At the backyard? Where are they in the society? We are suffering shame today because we don't have any star in the cabinet. We don't have any Mordecai. We don't have any Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We don't have any Nehemiah inside. We have men there. But most of them are what my people call mad or the mad hacker. Dr. Akpami, what that means is that you have a crowd and you are looking for somebody. That's a problem in the family. And they said, I wish we have somebody who can help. So what of those people around there? They are human beings, but not good enough. So we have human beings there, but not Christian enough, not godly enough, not good enough. Madhode, madhako. You know, there was a time David sent on condolence a team of his officers to King Hunam of Ammon. And the king was wrongly advised. And he shaved the beards of those people, cut open their bum bum, and disgraced them. The officers of King David. When David heard it, he sent great warriors to receive them on the way, give them a royal welcome, and take them to somewhere where they will stay until their beards, give them allowances. And David said, that guy will pay for his foolishness. I stretch out the hand of love. So when that king realized that what they have done has provoked a warrior, he now went to other nations and paid them and hired them, thinking that numbers will count when God goes to fight. It didn't work for him. Second Samuel chapter 10 verse 7. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah that he hired, Beth Rahab that he hired, Ishtob that he hired, and Maacah that he hired, were by themselves in the field. But the army of David dealt with them.
Mighty men
deliver their people from shame. They have what it takes to rescue their people from shame. They are not selfish. I come from a community. They brought in electricity and they passed the third road. My own village is a little bit inside. And then when they go to town, they will see electricity. They will see it in their place. I called one young man, he's in this conference. I asked him to go there and tell me the cost. Get concrete reinforced poles from the third road. Take it across my village and connect everybody to the end. One day they woke up, they saw electricity in front of their compounds. And I paid the bill. Sometimes I look at their roads are rough. And I will grade the whole place. Sometimes the roads will be bushy. I called the village head and said, how much will it take to pay the young boys to cut the grass I see on our roads? I don't like them. He will call the boys. I don't know how much he pays them. They will clean up the place and they will be paid. My name is not Namoha. When they share things in the village, nobody gives me. And I don't care. But if the light I carry is only inside of me, and it's for my wife and my children, and the community cannot get help from it, then my light is too small. Some of us are selfish. The streets you live on can be terrible and you do nothing about it. I grade the street I live in, Port Harcourt, and I had to compel NDDC to come and tie it. I did the work, 200,000 every year. The day I even sent my security man to tell my neighbors to donate something, they told him that they believed that God put me on that street to be taking care of the road. Mighty men give goal-oriented leadership. They provide transformational leadership. They provide a future for the young ones. They gather them, mentor them, tell them the direction to go so they all can have a future. What are the mighty men in the kingdom? Oh my God. We've been told since we've been here that they didn't know about God. They knew Him. Many of you have heard about great men, heads of states of many nations, but you have never shaken their hands, neither have you eaten with them, neither do you know their values, their backgrounds, the thoughts in their hearts. You don't know anything. You cannot say you know them. If you come to my village and ask the elders about somebody who is dubious, their answer will be, we don't know him. You said he's the son of those or so and so who lives in so and so compound. The compound of so and so and so and so. They said, yes, but we don't know him. We don't know him does not mean that they don't know the person you are describing. Neither do they not know his appearance. I've never seen him or his mother and his father. But they cannot take responsibility for him. They don't know him. Does God know you? Do you know God? David, Moses had done so many miracles. Came out on the way. And he said to God, show me your glory. That thing that makes you God. I want to know. And except that presence goes with us, we're not going anywhere. I don't want to follow a God I don't know. I have seen your acts, but I thought I knew you. You heard when one of my sons was praying here last night, was it this morning? And he quoted Paul, saying, I want to know him and the power of his death and resurrection. I want to know him. And he said, one thing am I pursuing? That will I seek after. I want to lay hold of that purpose for which he laid hold of me. I'm not confused. I'm focused. And he said, let as many as believe in Christ have the same goal. Be focused. Get to know God. These people got to know God. That's why God likes to work with those who have covenant with him and not those who use his name. Somebody somewhere, I was told, was using my name to collect 200,000, 300,000 from people who needed visa. I said, that anybody who needs visa should come and tell him that he's connected to me. And anywhere in the world, that in 3 weeks they'll get their visa. And people were rushing to the lady and giving her 200,000, 300,000. I said, you see how people respond to fakes. If I sent my genuine daughters now to go and collect, you know, 100,000, they won't collect, they won't get, nobody will give them. But the fake is collecting 200, 300. When trouble busted, then they now called my office. Called my office. Do you use the name of God to make money? Does God know you as a mighty man or woman? They were people of biblical values, you know. And they were, the Bible says that they carried God, Acts chapter 2 verse 3. They had tongues of fire on their head. And when they spoke, you see fire. It burned inside and outside. They prayed earthquaking prayers. Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 31, when they prayed, the place where they prayed shook. And that's how they taught their children to pray. Do your children know how to pray? Our only daughter was small. And she was
in JS.
Okay, the junior secondary school.
And they made her the chapel prefect.
And I complained that they should allow her study. The head of the school sent a clip of her prayer. Said, this is your daughter praying. We couldn't get anybody who could do better. Now their mother has relaxed. She doesn't open her eyes again to watch them. And they don't open their eyes anyway, because they have seen everything they need to see. They copy, they photocopy. They do. Those men were powerful men. Philip, we have daughters that when you come, they tell you everything inside you and where you are coming from and where you are going. Where are your daughters? What quality in the spirit? They operated with great power and great grace. That's what the Bible says in Acts 4:33. And great signs accompanied them. When you look at what the Bible said about Apollos, a Jew born in Alexandria, the Bible said that in Acts 18, he was eloquent when it comes to the scripture. He was mighty in the scriptures. Please don't give any excuses.
Carry us to the Bible.
To walk.
During your break time.
Read at least one chapter. Mighty in scriptures. Their mightiness was in prayer. Mightiness in scripture. And their children watched them. Mama prophetess, mama pastor, mama preacher, where are your own children? They were mighty. Paul of Tarsus said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. They were in demonstration of power. He said to the church in Thessalonica, for our gospel did not come to you in words only, but in power. And when he wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans 15:18, he said, for I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonder. Not signs and wonder.
Signs and wonders.
Acts 19:11. Saint Paul worked unusual miracles. The one that nobody can conceive, you can never do. I want to say, brothers and sisters, We need to go back to the place where
we can reactivate our prayer life
and our hunger for the word.
Tonight, I plan that we're going to pray in twos and threes to activate that again in our lives. You couldn't have come yet and you go back the same. Then everything we invested to put this together is a failure. There were so much fights against this meeting, and I was willing to lay down anything for it. So much fights that a governor called one of the speakers and said, "Don't go there. There's trouble in that place." A governor left his work, called one of the speakers and said, "Don't come." But Akpami, have you seen that kind of problem before? And if you watch all the federal government COVID things, state COVID things, all the curfew things, they were all supposed to take effect from the day this conference is supposed to start. You think it's a coincidence? People are still calling. Will that meeting hold? So we've done 2 days already. You're still in your house. Done 2 days. I've gone too far with God to be intimidated. Yes. Gone too far with a mighty man, with people of power in prayer, people of power in the word, people of power in the works they did, people of power in righteousness. Yes. There were men that were strong. When you look at Joel chapter 2, even though they're talking about the locust army, but it has, characteristics of the mighty. And the same characteristics with the army of David. They had God's presence with them. They were Torah. They were swift and skillful. And they were orderly. And they were subject to authority. And they submitted to a voice. They came from different tribes to David to carry out the will of God. They didn't say, "Let's stay in our tribes." And Manasseh will gather their own. And one man will say, "We are of Manasseh group." They knew the times. They knew what Israel ought to do. And they gathered. When you hear the voice of God, and God gives us a leader, will you leave that place that you are locked in and connect with that? When they say bring money, will you bring? I remember when Pastor Bonsu Emmanuel was calculating how much every Nigerian, if they give it, how much we will raise to be able to sponsor candidates. How many people gave money? So when you hear God call, will you respond? Do you respond? Mighty men. Mighty men are mobile. At every signal, they gather. In Israel, from age 18, it's compulsory for every boy to be in the military. And until you're 40, even if you retire after 3 days, you retain your number. Anywhere you are, anywhere in the world, and Israel is under attack. Within 24 hours, until you are 40, you are supposed to fly back and carry your rifle. And this Israel are the sons of Abraham. You and I are the sons of Abraham. We're supposed to be sons of Abraham by faith. We serve the same God. Even though some of them don't know him. But you who claim to know him, you don't have the DNA of your God. If the church is struck, there's no voice to call for the mighty men. And if there's a call, you don't go because you don't see yourself as a mighty person. I pray that will change tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. They match information. They work in teams. They do not break ranks. They understand protocols.
They're not inwardly ambitious. They're satisfied with their position. God said to David said to his men, fight yourself to position, you know, according to your strength, not according to your tribe. And they couldn't be cut down by weapons of men. They were so good at what they did. Not slothful, not lazy, but agile. They were strong and impactful. The earth quaked before them. That was the mighty army. And that's the army. Let me conclude with the horsemen. December this year, last year, 2020, we began to seek the Lord to know what the year 2021 and the decade will be. We had him very clearly tell us it will be a season of horsemen, not footmen. It was then I had to connect with MPN families, the whole world, on a Zoom meeting. I said, let me announce to you what we are about to enter in the year 2021. And I read Jeremiah 12:5 for them. I'll read it for you and I'll close. As we were about in 2010, we were about to enter into 2011. And the Lord told us it's going to be a catastrophic year. It's going to be a year that men will tremble. When I said it, somebody reminded me that the prophets in America gathered and they said it's going to be a year of double portion. One and one. It's going to be a year of this and that. And those are famous names. I'm not famous. So it was like the people are talking. So what are you talking? We entered into 2011. What happened? That was the year we began to hear about tsunami for the first time. 28,000 people died within 24 hours in China. We entered into 2011. That was the year we had 480 something earthquakes, the highest in any one year since the world was created. We entered 2011. Africa lost. About two or three head of states. We entered 2011. It was trauma and trouble, the whole earth. The Nigerian head of state, I was in Austria, called me. I said, there's trouble in Nigeria. And I came back. I went to Sobila. He analyzed them to me and told me what he wanted to do. I said, Your Excellency, endure it, manage it until we get out of 2011. Don't add your name to this one. He said, I said, sir, you are the captain of this boat. And if you do anything different, it will sink. And they will hold you responsible. When I was going to answer that call, I called Emeka Wampa to go with me. I called Emmanuel Kure to come along. And I asked two of them, if I have not said the mind of God, say what you are hearing. And two of them waited for a while. I said, we believe you hit the nail on the head. Oh, that we have wise men who can help our leaders from messing up. He said, but the Senate has passed it. House of Rep has passed it. I said, sir. And so why did you call me? You've gotten the two bodies to approve what you want to do. That was the year of double by the famous prophets from almighty America. And some of us believe more than the Bible now. So when God speaks, and I know He's the one speaking, I'm careful. He said, we are entering into the season of the horsemen. Alright. Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with footmen
and they wearied you,
then how can you contend with
horses or horses horsemen?
In this decade,
the kingdom of God will be men and women,
prophets, apostles,
evangelists, pastors,
teachers,
Christians,
old and young,
will arise and contend for their faith.
They will contend for their freedom, and they must do so like horsemen and not footmen. Footmen are limited; they are slow; they are easily overrun. But God says, Christianity this year, this decade, me and you, mighty men, must be horsemen. Horsemen are royalties. They are educated. They are elites. They are rulers. They are captains. They are commanders. Ezekiel 23:6 said they are desirable men. Ezekiel 12:23 says they are men that inspire you in the battlefield. Not cowards. When they show up, then they know that the battle has become real. They are strong. No, their horses are strong. Psalm 133:17. Strong war horses. So are their riders. Isaiah 30:16 says, their horses are swift. So are their riders. Job 39:20 says, their horses are fearless and they make mockery of fear. So are their riders. Job 39:22 said, they are fierce and impetuous. So are their horse riders. Isaiah 63:10 said, their horses are sure-footed. So are their horsemen. These are the characteristics of the mighty men. Men of speed. Not men who will live here and continue to crawl like a snail, like a tortoise. Horsemen. They are needed when delay is dangerous and costly. Pastor Bonsu Emmanuel told you that if you're expecting things to get better by lucre, you are wasting your time. They are needed when speed is of essence. And because of the urgency of the matter, 2 Kings chapter 9. They are needed when a hot chase of the enemy, who is escaping with valuables, is needed. When overtaking is compulsory. When total recovery is the cry of the king. And I know that's the cry of God. 1 Samuel 30:8. That's when you need horsemen. Good horsemen. Good horsewomen. Good riders. Good chasers. They're needed when aggressive, superior, tactical, swift movement is important. Isaiah 30:16. Swifter than eagles. Jeremiah 4:13. Men and brethren, the mighty men that will live from this year must be horsemen. That's why my wife said you must put it down like a book. And she won't sleep. She won't eat. She was collecting everything I've spoken about horsemen. Because she knows we have a few days. And I may not even talk about it. But she said, if God said it in December, he has not changed his mind. The circumstances are showing it. As we are planning for this meeting, the security people in this compound asked for some new gadgets. And one of the things they asked for was something to blow an alarm and to mobilize them. My prayer, and I'll ask you to help pray, that we shall submit ourselves to the coordination of the commander that met Joshua at Gilgal. And so that you will hear the alarm. So let us rise as horsemen, as warriors. Somebody say, my father, my father, the maker of the chariots of Israel and their horsemen, baptize me with your spirit of strength, fearlessness, swiftness, wisdom, warlike disposition, power,
right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Baptism must take place right here, right now. Submit yourself to it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just a few months ago in January, the Lord taught us to roar.
and you think it was in vain. It's because strange things have entered the jungle and the lion needs to roar. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? We're going to pray to pull down all the evil structures of the devil in Nigeria. We are going to pull down the structures of Goliath. We are going to, in the spirit, pick up the plan, the templates, and burn it with fire now. Somebody roar. Roar! Open your mouth and tear their structures. Tear their templates. Roar! In the mighty name of Jesus. From what things we have been hearing from this altar, we know we have sinned against God. And I'm crying out, I say, God, show us mercy. We have allowed abominable things into your house and your altar. But please, don't sell us into the hands of the abominable people. Please, you are Father, show us mercy. We're going to cry out for mercy and for forgiveness. And ask God to recover our peace, to recover our prosperity, to recover the church from collapse, to recover Nigeria from destruction. Let's say to the Lord, we have sinned. Yes, we agree. But don't sell us away into the hands of the abominable. So go ahead and cry out, my Father, my Father. the name of Jesus. Father, we know that it is not your will that any should perish. Not even your own redeemed sons and daughters. But we are perishing. They are slaughtering us. They tie the hands of our leaders and they chop off their heads with big machete. They shoot many with guns and they die. They are setting our houses on fire. They are firing our men who are workers in the civil service. They retire people prematurely. Lord, we have trouble on our roads. We ask for mercy. Our greed has not done us well. Our leaders have sold us away. Lord, our inordinate ambition to become famous have not done us well. We have gone solo. We have thrown wisdom and advice to the winds. And we have not been united. It's everybody to your own. And Lord, this is the result. We are a reproach to nations. I offered scholarship to somebody in Kenya. They said if it's to school in Nigeria, I will not take it. I offered to somebody in Uganda. He says if it is to school in Nigeria, I will not take it. Ah. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Father, have mercy. In your anger, remember mercy. Turn around and deliver us. Don't sell us away into the hands of the abominable. Redeem us. May rebuke us. Raise prophetic voices. Send them to our congregations. Lord, appear yourself. Do something. Whatever you will do as a father to recover your own. Please, we say, begin to do so. Tonight, we ask you, bring down the structure of evil in Nigeria. Take down this Goliath that is insulting your people. Give us back our freedom. Give us a safe future. Thank you for the mighty men and women that are here. Lord, I am asking for a transfiguration. Jesus appeared on that mount. You came down with Moses and Elijah. And he was transfigured. Every man, every woman on this mountain, by the same power and token, let the glory of God descend on you. Let a new garment of power and glory be put on you. Let your nature be transfigured. Let the lion in you come alive. In Jesus' most powerful name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Put your hands together to the Lord once again. So doing that, let's stretch our hands to our Father. Begin to ask God for more grace, more grace, more grace. Let's begin to pray for him. Let's pray for him. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. That the grace, the unlimited grace, the immeasurable grace.